A group called the Museum Liberation Force is pressing the provincial government for actions and answers about a South Asian Canadian museum that was promised years ago. On Tuesday, April 2nd, members of the British Columbia South Asian community, friends and colleagues, gathered in Surrey City Hall for a forum called Where is Our Museum? Organizers called the event, quote, a beacon of hope and action, ensuring that the process of creating the South Asian Canadian Museum, as promised by the provincial government's mandate, is rooted in the genuine desires, perspectives, and needs of the community it aims to represent. Sharn Corsandra is a historian and University of the Fraser Valley faculty member and the founder of Belonging Matters Consulting. She is one of the organizers behind the Museum Liberation Force and was a panelist for the event on Tuesday. CIVL Radio interviewed Sandra to help explain the purpose of the Where is Our Museum Forum and the history of the museum in question.
So the NDP government, under the leadership of Premier Horgan, made an announcement about 4 years ago saying that they are dedicated as a party and a government to support the creation of what they called then the South Asian Canadian Museum. So that announcement was made about 4 years ago, and the South Asian Studies Institute and Sathwinder Bains were really a part of that conversation earlier on, when Melanie Mark was also our Minister of Tourism, Arts, Culture, and Sport, I believe is what the ministry is called. So Melanie Mark was very supportive then. Following that announcement, there was one initial consultation done, community consultation in April of 2 years ago. And at that consultation, I think the government didn't realize the amount of pushback there was going to be from community members. So many community members, for example, challenged the placeholder name of South Asian Canadian Museum. There was a lot of different levels of like tense conversation, challenges, calls to accountability. And after that, the South Asian Studies Institute was no longer partnering and supporting the work, as far as I know. And so when that first phase consultation happened, there was a complete like silence for a good year. And then all of a sudden, I received an invite to join the engagement advisory committee. I think it was in the summer of 2023, which I did join because I was curious what was happening with the silence. And I had just recently finished a PhD looking at museums as spaces of belonging. So I wanted to have some sort of representation of my knowledge at that table. And as I mentioned in the other interview I did, even in the first meeting, I immediately started seeing a lot of red flags. Many of which included, you know, a lack of empathy, a lack of critical thinking, a lack of clarity. Terms of references weren't even ready within the first, I would say, three meetings. It was clear that the bureaucrats and the leadership were really just flying by the seat of their pants. There was a complete, It was racist. It was racist the way we had the Chinese Canadian Museum model thrown at us, where that model, as beautiful as that building is a completely different exercise than what we are looking for, right? We weren't even allowed to, like, able to fully discuss the language of why South Asian is contentious. Like, there were academics in that room, amazing people in that engagement advisory committee, but we kept glossing it over. And then when we advised on language that was specific to the, like the South Asian experience around like casteism or like racism, even it was brushed aside and put as a value that falls under equity. And, you know, that's an example of where white bureaucrats who don't know the community, don't understand what we actually mean, take language in their own hands because they feel like they know better than us. And we've had this done for much too long. So after a few meetings in December, I peaced out basically, but I peaced out in a way where I wrote an email to every single person on the committee and every minister representation, naming all the red flags that I saw and called out white supremacy as well within that entire structure. And the other thing is, you know, I do feel like there's a lot of strange politicking of pitting communities against each other, which has been done for centuries as well as a method of colonialism. And I was like, I'm done. Like, you know, this whole seat at the table methodology, this whole desperation for a seat at the table, I no longer need that. And many of us no longer need that. We can forge our own power and forge our own narrative and our own conversation without having these eyes and structures and powers holding us over. So That's where Museum Liberation Force came in literally just a few weeks ago. And we're like, let's just organize our own event and show the ministry how it can be done in a meaningful way.
And we're speaking before the event. What do you think the conversation will be like? How do you overcome that bureaucracy and reductive language that's in place? What is up for discussion?
Let's talk to each other. Let's hear each other and let's build off of our relationships. And so as an example, if one of the biggest contentions is the placeholder name of South Asian Canadian, who that means, how does that intersect with identities of gender? How does that intersect with generations? What I found is we've organically just fostered these amazing relationships, and our invite list that I've seen is reflective of that. And so our vision going forward is we are going to work through the amazing relationships we have with various different people who are invested in the museum conversation to continue building some sort of dialogue with each other. And you know, that there's no power that so far that has, you know, no power imbalance that has come out of Museum Liberation Force. Like, we are literally all volunteers creating social media campaigns, writing incredible open letters, doing media blitz campaigns, all collectively. And it's beautiful to see that we're able to do this in such a short span.
What is the actual structure of the event? Will community members get a chance to get involved? And what do you think they'll say?
I'm actually genuinely curious to see what people are going to say. So our event is structured very interestingly. We are giving ourselves lots of time. So it's a 3-hour event from 6:15 to about 7:15. We have a panel conversation moderated by Kiran Singh, who's just an award-winning journalist, an incredible human being, joined by amazing panelists as well. After that hour, we go into the atrium and we've got various different stations set up for people to be able to find a way to reflect their answers to questions that we've got around the room as well. There are questions like, you know, who was excluded from the conversation about the museum, or who should tell our stories? So these sorts of questions raise people's synergy and energy around, like, let me sit back and reflect on this. So we're going to have a video corner. We've hired a videographer who will be recording people's answers. We're going to have a massive mural opportunity where people just draw what they feel should be a museum. It could be a drawing of words. It could be a drawing of actual things. We're going to have a corner where people can answer questions on post-it notes. It's multiple sensory, in other words. And then all of us who are on Museum Liberation Force will be walking around and just talking to people. And then when we do that, and sorry, during that time as well, we are going to be having a meal. So the New Westminster Gurdwara, the Sukh Sagar Gurdwara, has very kindly donated langar, which is a very Sikh grassroots, again, driven mindset of, you know, a free kitchen, food. And so all that food is donated by the Gurdwara very kindly. So there'll be food as well for community members to enjoy as they're engaging in the activities. An hour of that, and then we come back and it's total town hall style. So we're going to have two mics set up in the council chambers, the auditorium, and people can simply go up to the mic and either talk to each other, talk to us as the panelists. We'll be returning back on stage and really just engage. And again, all of this data is collected. And my hope is that we create an ongoing campaign with media sound bites, with images, and then content-driven messaging around, this is what the people said. And I hope it'll be one of many. If the province had gotten its shit together, basically, this could have been done years ago. And we managed to do it in 3 weeks. And so frankly, you know, our message is, this is the way you do community-led work, community-driven work, grassroots-led work. And we could have had like 3 phases of consultations if it had been done like this. But that's okay. We keep going and keep pushing and holding people to power to account.
Are you expecting members of the provincial ministry, members of the advisory committee to attend?
As far as I know, they are attending. We have access, obviously, to the Eventbrite registrations, and we welcome them. And we just sent out a follow-up email, you know, reminding people about the event. And we've written in that email, you know, we see that there are people representing the ministry who are coming, and we see that there are people who are on the current engagement advisory, and we welcome them. I said this in an earlier interview as well. We are not approaching this challenge by demeaning people, putting people down. Our integrity is intact. And just because we may disagree and are feeling hurt by the way it has been handled so far, it does not mean that we don't welcome people to be a part of the conversation and be a part of the dialogue. So actually, I want them all there. I really, really want them all there so they can see what it's like when a community comes together to resist the way things have always been done, right? We are being put into that same box all the time. And it's time to break the mold a little bit and know that we are community professionals who can find a different avenue, a different approach.
You are something of a museum expert. Can you contextualize this entire movement? What is the potential value of the museum you want to see opened?
Great question, because even people in my own community don't quite see the value in it, right? Belonging is a really interesting thing because we don't quite realize the full breadth of what it means to see yourself belonging in any space. When you see yourself belonging, you feel empowered, you have self-worth, you have value, and that intersects with, your health. That intersects with how you see yourself in relationship to law and justice and education. And so here's an example. If we look at even the healthcare system and mental health crises happening, like amongst Punjabi youth, for example, I know that if those youth were able to see themselves reflected in powerful cultural spaces like museums, or even to be able to have dialogues in cultural spaces like a museum, it would change the way they grow up. And that's a really bold statement to make. And it's not backed by any, social sciences research done or health sciences. But I know what it's like to go through life, A, feeling like you don't belong, but then the difference when you feel like you do belong, the sense of empowerment. I've experienced this for 12 years giving tours of the Heritage Gurdwara here in Abbotsford. I've seen the impact of my work for 12, 15 years on South Asian youth, Punjabi youth, Sikh youth. Because I keep in touch with so many of them. That impact, you can't quantify. You can't quantify the implications of fostering belonging in young people. And so museums absolutely, absolutely matter. It's the common field trip that we all go through in the K-12 system here in Canada. But the museums that we go to often do not reflect experiences of like racialized resistance, not always about racism. Just racialized being in multiple different ways, unless they are like a special little one-off exhibit stuck in a corner. What would it be like to have K-12 children in our school systems go through museums where multiple different lived experiences are fostered? I received a message from a colleague of mine. I curated an exhibit at the Burnaby Village. Actually, I was a research consultant for an exhibit at the Burnaby Village Museum called Truths Not Often Told, and it looked at like South Asians in Burnaby. And a friend of mine, who's a white teacher in our school district here in Abbotsford, messaged me saying, and she took a picture of a bunch of Punjabi kids. One child had a Judah, right? So he's a Sikh child in front of a panel. And she's like, the moment they entered that small little museum exhibit, they were screaming, lighting up, saying they recognize like the language, the Punjabi language being used. And she said, this is the most impactful thing she's ever seen. Like the school, which is majority Punjabi kids, experience in a field trip. And, imagine that being experienced for many different people, the power of that moment. So to me, museums very much matter. They matter because they implicate so many other aspects of our lives going forward.
What's next for the museum and the Museum Liberation Force? How do you keep this conversation going?
Well, we are hearing that there's going to be a granting system being put out. I don't know by who, but it's by funds that the province is probably trying to use up before fiscal end, is my guess. And so we will probably apply for a grant or many of the, artists who are part of our organization or whoever to be able to do a follow-up conversation because it's not cheap to host an event like this. Again, totally grassroots. It's thousands of dollars to book Surrey City Hall. Luckily we've got Lunger free of charge. We've got exhibits on display. All that costs. We're hiring a videographer, a photographer. It all costs money. So we're hoping to do more conversations. So it's not going to end here. It will 100% continue, and people are already wanting to join us.
Anyone who missed out on Tuesday's event seeking input answers or more events like it, asking where is our museum, Sandra said, can look for the Museum Liberation Force on social media.
For Civil Radio, I'm Charles Brockman. This story was made possible by the Local Journalism Initiative and the Community Radio Fund of Canada. For this story and more like it, please visit frequencynews.ca.